It's Thursday morning. We check in with the city of Bloomington and the deputy mayor's, our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Keith.
Hey.
Did you have a good time at the BMW wrapping up last week quickly?
Well, I was there Thursday, and we got rained out about 2, but did get a chance to see quite a bit of golf in the morning and before it rained, so I was happy about that.
Yeah, you got about, what, 3.5 hours, and that's a pretty solid. A 3-hour tour. That's not bad. Not bad at all. Dustin Johnson, immaculate performance. He wins that. We're not here to talk about golf, although Mick and I could do plenty of time on golf here on the airwaves. Busy night last night at the city council. Tim Mayer gave us the preview on Tuesday morning. Said, what, 13, 14 things,
kind of things.
We're going to be up for discussion, and they ran through a litany of most of them, and about $20 million ish, I'm going to say ish because we're not going to get into decimal points and all that stuff, on the table there. What did we learn from last night's meeting, Mick?
Well, I guess first I would say that the bond process has changed since the last time we did these. These are renewed bonds, so they're not adding to the tax base. They're just continuing the existing tax rate for projects. The last time these bonds were done, the city's Transportation 2000 projects were part of all the street infrastructure portion of the bond. That was the late 90s in preparation for why it was called Transportation 2000, to get those road projects initiated in that year. And then Parks followed up in 2001 with a bond projects list that created Miller Showers Park and renovated Cascades and added a skate park at Upper Cascades and renovated our two pools, which is kind of a 15-year or 20-year cycle. You have to do some pretty major infrastructure improvements.
Well, and that's why we would like to ask you about it, because you were right in the middle of that Parks and Rec bond, correct?
Right. So that process, it was kind of a, you just identified in one bond description the projects that you thought you were going to do and the relative estimates for each of those projects. Fast forward to last night and this year, and the process is much different in that you have to identify each project or series of subsets of projects within thresholds under a certain limit of dollars, and so that's why there were so many individual breakouts, so that the council could consider each one of them on its merits, and instead of voting up or down an entire $18 million, $20 million bond project, they were voting on subsets of projects, and that's state law that made those changes, and it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Made for a lot more discussion and a lot more breakouts of the various projects.
Well, I think taxpayers want to know where their money is going. They're not maybe not against where it is, but that's a big number just to throw an umbrella up and say, hey, let's cover all that.
Well, and even though the projects in the past were described within those big bond numbers, I think really it's not only good for the taxpayer, it's good for the agencies that are going for the bonds, because if your council says, I don't like that particular project in that $5 million grouping, you lose the whole grouping. And this way, they're all broken out more so that if there is objection to one, you don't lose the other 12 or 13.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, that does absolutely make sense.
Good on both sides.
Right. The one issue that jumped off the page was transportation. Was it transportation?
Traffic lights and the sanitation.
Sanitation, yeah. Not transportation. Well, you get transportation within your sanitation, because
right,
you're going to buy trucks and capital investment and everything else. How do we differentiate what goes where? Because one has user fee, that what's going to come with the sanitation, and then one fits in the bond. Explain how that's in two different categories, or at least is presented that way.
Yeah, so the bonds for the sanitation service model change are for new trucks. Those are expensive trucks, and we're proposing a semi-automated system. So instead of having our crews, as they do now, pick up the trash and heave it in the back of the trash truck, which is causing, obviously, injuries and loss of work and staff time and workers' compensation and just bad for our people, right? We're going to having the lifts, and they can either be side load tippers or rear load tippers, and there's reasons why you don't go to all one type. In our community, we have some narrow streets, so you can't use the sidearms. So some places we would need rear load tippers, some we would need side load. The decision about whether or not the tippers, we call them carts, people call them totes as well, so whatever you want to call your trash receptacle, those are the things that the arms pick up. They can pick up a variety of sizes, so that's not a big deal. And we have not determined. We do want public input on what are the right number of sizes, and the rates haven't been set for the basic level of service delivery that will replace the stickers, but the equipment has to be replaced no matter what. It's outdated. It's an old model of picking up trash, and they have to be replaced. We certainly don't want to replace them with old methodologies. We want to replace it with new. And this is just the beginning of several years of having to purchase trucks. There's 10 in our fleet. This purchases two trucks to start with so we can pilot the program, make sure we're buying the right kind of equipment, and that we have the right number of rear load tippers versus side load tippers. And then this also pays for the carts or the totes. And while that decision of how many and what kind hasn't been determined, it doesn't change the fact that we'll have to buy them to use this new system. You can't use your own plastic containers. The arms will crush them. They have to be made of something more substantive than that. So we know that has to take place as part of the conversion to this new model. Oh. That there are a lot of undecided things, we understand that's a concern of our council, and we're getting comments from the public, and we welcome those, and we'll be making a lot more outreach that, in my mind, doesn't change the fact that the new equipment is necessary no matter what. And it's not like the council's vote up or down on the sanitation trucks in the coming weeks changes the fact that we have plenty of time before the trucks would be ordered and the types of trucks could be altered. And that's the case in all of these bond projects. Nothing is cast in stone. All of it is modifiable.
And some people say, well, the sanitation bill hasn't even been passed at the city level yet. How can we put that into a bond if that process hasn't been done yet?
It's back to the choice about equipment versus policy.
Okay.
You have to have the equipment. The policy level discussions are going to be ongoing. We understand that. Hopefully we can actually talk about the fact that the equipment is what we're talking about here, not the policy, not the fee structure. Those are certainly conjoined discussions, but one does not preclude the other from having to happen. We have to have new vehicles.
And that's why we have you on Thursday mornings, to help clear up that stuff that goes on. People will say too, hey, well, what am I paying the user fee for on my utility bill if this bond's going to take care of everything? Can you clear that?
Well, those are two different things. One is to cover the cost of the equipment, the capital cost of the equipment. Another is to cover the operational expense.
There you go.
Staffing and the trash landfill and the recycling. And you know, so those, it's the trash and recycling has been subsidized by the taxpayer for a long time. We're trying to minimize that subsidy with using more efficient delivery models, trying to lower the cost, trying to be more efficient as we move forward. And we're certainly open to how those things will happen. But I guess I would point out, you know, whether you use water or gas or electric utilities, you pay on a consumable level, but you also pay a base rate, right? There is, in every one of those cases, if you use zero amount of gas this month, you still have a base gas charge.
For being
right?
hooked up, baby.
Right.
You got to be hooked up.
So, you know, if you look at trash and recycling as another utility type, then you still have a basic cost, whether you throw a lot of trash or a little trash. Now, we certainly, in our community, want to encourage people to throw less trash, and this community's been great at that. Recycling has been readily accepted, and we don't think that's going to change moving forward, whether we go to single stream and use bigger containers so people can put it in one container or not. We think the culture of this community is such that those behaviors won't change whether we change how they're picked up or not. So, you know, we're going to subsidize this service no matter what. We just have to minimize that subsidy, and that's what we're looking to do, and that's why we'll have continuing discussions about how to make that happen and make it priced at the point that's fair to the people who don't throw as much waste.
We're speaking with Mick Renneisen, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. And, Mick, you've been working on, and part of this bond stuff, I think, covers some of this, refurnishing basketball courts, getting some of the park stuff in condition.
Yeah, so the parks side of the bond's about $6.9 million. The streets and sanitation improvements were the other $11 million. Has broken out a lot of different ways with a lot of different projects, probably not as exciting to most people as the parks projects tend to be, because they're something that people use, see, and appreciate at a different level, I believe. So there's some trail improvements in the parks bond. There's a lot of court resurfacing. I mentioned to Keith off the radio a minute ago, but I certainly want the public to know, for example, we've just refinished the basketball, volleyball courts at the Twin Lakes Recreation Center, so we have nice, great surfaces for our winter basketball programs for kids and adults, and we've got tons of those surfaces in asphalt in the outdoor world, including Southeast Park, which, by the way, the basketball tennis courts there are closed until the end of October, so we can refurbish those. But there's a lot more pavement in the Parks Department, parking lots, basketball, tennis courts, and we're going to redo them this time at several of the court surfaces. And by redo them, I don't mean patch the cracks. I mean tear them up and start over.
Okay.
And that'll keep the dead spots for those avid tennis players from having those dead spots occur. And it's time. You know, it's asphalt surfaces last about 20 years, and so it's time to replace those type surfaces in our system. We have over 22 asphalt basketball and tennis courts, for example.
You got time for a silly question? Because that's what I specialize in here.
Go for it.
Okay, these bonds are going to last how long?
They are between 15 and 20 years.
Okay, just a ballpark. I'm not looking to stick you to anything. But then we'll see the Switchyard Park come along in a few years. Then we'll have to rebond something for that down the road. Or is the Switchyard Park included in this 15 to 20 year? Or to explain how that works, if you understand my poorly worded question.
No worries. I do. So last year, the previous administration passed a comprehensive TIF bond for approximately $40 million. The projects were identified in that TIF bond. One of them was the Switchyard Park.
Boom, so it's covered.
There are many others, but it's already been bonded
before.
And we just actually had a meeting yesterday with the park staff and the design team, and work is progressing nicely there, and hopefully we'll be able to let the public know about the timetable in the not-too-distant future.
Sweet. You got any trivia for us to see how sharp we are?
You know what this weekend is, right?
This weekend
Lotus.
Is Lotus Fest. It's
it
Hoosiers
Lotus,
Outrun
so
Cancer. It's the fall festival.
Lotus
it is.
Which national magazine recently included IU in their list of the country's top 20 most beautiful campuses? Now, this is not the Lotus question, but I just wanted to start with
that. Saw that
you guys
tweet.
Pay attention to these things.
I saw the tweet.
National
and I can't
magazine.
Remember. Yeah.
I'll give you your options.
Oh, good.
A is Time Magazine. B is Condé Nast Traveler. C is Architectural Digest. And D is College Today.
I'm going to take the Traveler magazine.
I'm going with College Today because that sounds like, yeah.
It is Keith that is correct.
Condé always
Nast
gets me.
Traveler.
Yeah, I always get
Traveler
the first one,
good.
Then you get the next two.
Condé Nast, that's a big publication there. That's Travel and Leisure and all that stuff, isn't it?
All right, here's our Lotus question.
All right.
How many people attended last year's Lotus
Oh, geez.
Event?
Okay, last year it did not rain.
I'm going to say.
Well, he's going to give it to us. Go ahead.
Multiple?
Yeah.
Go.
Nope, I'm not going to give you numbers.
I'm going to say all said and done, Thursday opening concert through Sunday, I'm going to say 30,000 people.
All right, Keith.
I'm going to work on 25,000.
All right, Keith's closer. It's 12,000 from 28 different states.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Why did I think there were, that's a football game crowd. That's pretty large. Yeah. So, all right.
And the third question.
0-2.
A tiebreaker. Although it's not a tiebreaker this time, Keith won. But
it's broken. It's what it
just
is.
Just because glass, you need to
I'll
have some redemption
now.
Here.
I need some redemption.
Keith, maybe give him a break and not. Don't answer this one. Which city venue will serve as a site for one Lotus event? Is it A. Showers Plaza, B. the Banneker Community Center, C. Third Street Park?
Third
Street Park.
And right, I have to say it properly. I have to say the Waldron Hill. Buskirk Park, because Nat Hill listens and he'll get on my case, and I don't want
bonus that. Points because I was going to use that phrase too, but I wasn't sure if you guys would catch it. So, you got it, Glass. So you kind of tied Keith because
all right,
you came
he wins.
With the tiebreaker.
I'm like the Colts, Mick. I'm late arriving once I finally get my offense
in
order.
Yeah, but can you play any defense?
Well,
I didn't
address that, did I? Hey, great job as always. We appreciate you clearing that stuff up. That's why we love having you on Thursday mornings, and we'll do it next week.
Sounds good.
Take care, Mick.
Mick Renhuizen. Hey, it's good stuff, and it's poignant stuff as well.
He's good. He's
and,
very good.
I started recording Mick's interviews so we can, because there's too much good information in there that people can use as reference down the road.
That's right.
And that's a great job from Mick.